You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocals of Cryptopsy, and you're listening to my podcast, Vox and Hops, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you guys have had a great weekend. I had an absolute blast just sitting back, relaxing, enjoying a few craft brews in the presence of my family. I had a great time, and I hope you guys had a chance to relax as well. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is one of Montreal's premier metal promoters. They normally put on a bunch of amazing metal shows throughout the year. Most of the best shows that are happening in Montreal are put on by Heavy Montreal. They also put on a monster of a festival during the summer. I have played just about every festival out there, and trust me when I tell you that Heavy Montreal is up there with the best of them. I am super, super stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops podcast. Today's episode, I am with Stefan Balbe, the bassist of Cataclysm, who are actually dropping a record this coming Friday on September 25th. That record is called Unconquered. It is coming out via Nuclear Blast Records. Everything that I have heard from this record is absolutely amazing. Cryptopsy and Cataclysm have been playing together since the early 90s here in Montreal, and I love them dearly. I actually did my first U.S. tour alongside Cataclysm on Summer Slaughter back in 2008. It was a great time, and that's actually where I met Stefan. So this is a great chat. I'm super stoked about it. Here it is. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 183.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Stefan Balbe of Cataclysm and Xdeo. We have known each other a very, very long time, and it is sort of strange that it took me this long to sit down with you, to drink a brew, and to ask you some questions for Vox and Hops. A simple question, how are you doing? How are you coping with 2020?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good question. Easy answer, you know, it's shitty. 2020 so far is very shitty, but what can we say? It's shitty for everyone, right? So maybe shittier for some than others, but we just try to do our best, you know. So
that's all that we can do right now, is just stay positive and try to spread positivity in a sea of negativity. And I think us as musicians is something that we should really strive to do, even though we're totally fucked.
Yeah, totally. You said it. We had the whole hand, but yeah.
Leading up to this interview, you mentioned that you normally don't do interviews and you were a little bit nervous. Tell me about that. Tell me about that. You can go out and you can rock on stage in front of thousands and thousands of people, but to sit down and talk to me and know that you're being recorded, why does that bother you?
Well, it's not that it bothers me, you know. I know... I mean, I'm French speaker. From the start, you know, and my mother tongue is French. So for me to speak in English, it might not sound like I'm fucked up, but I'm actually really working right now to try to think in English, you know, to give you my opinions or my views on things in the best way I can, you know. So that's always makes me a bit nervous. So, but I'm fine now. I'm with you, you know, good friend. It's been a while. I haven't spoke to you, so.
You're doing a wonderful job, man, and I truly appreciate you working extra hard, having a conversation with me, translating everything in your brain before you say it.
And with the humidity, it's not easy, so
I completely understand. No problem. Let me help you right now. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends and talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. What beer do you have on your side there to help lubricate your brainstem?
Well, at first, you know, I wanted to meet you actually at the Le Fermentor in L'Assomption with my friend Jeff, you know?
Absolutely.
But as usual, you know, musicians were a bit late. And I thought for one reason that it was only... it was a week later, anyways. Anyhow, so I went to the store and I bought this one, you know, metal, Vox and Hops, and so I took this one, the Death Valley. It's a beer made here in Montreal, actually. I haven't tasted it yet. I just chose it for the name. I thought it was cool, I mean, Death Valley. I was in Red Rock Canyon for my marriage, and Death Valley is a place I would like to go again or visit, you know. So let's see how it tastes. You want to do a cheers on that?
Absolutely, yes. Let me introduce mine. I'm drinking a milkshake New England IPA by Broadway Microbrasserie out of Shawinigan. This is a milkshake New England IPA. It's going to be creamy and tropical. Let me pour this out. And yes, that is brewed in Montreal. It is from R.J. Brassard.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Death Valley.
Yeah.
Let me pour this out. And as I pour this out, tell everyone a little bit about if you are a craft beer enthusiast.
I am in a sense. I usually, you know, when we travel, like to play music, for example, we go into a city. When we go out to eat, let's say in a pub or in a bar or whatever, we ask for the local beer. And usually I'm like pale ale or blonde beers, you know, really not too strong. But first, because we have to play at night, so I don't want to be too fucked up, even though it did happen sometimes in the past. Okay, many times. But you know how it is. One beer and then, hey, another one. I'm fine. And then there it goes. You know, the show is a total chaos. But anyways, I'm more and more I appreciate more and more beer. But I used to have like quantity over quality. So I apologize for that. You know, we grow up, we grow older and we get wiser, I guess. So I never liked like stouts and beers like that, even though that when we visited the Guinness factory in Dublin, I was really impressed. And we had a small tasting of the beer, and they made us like see the whole factory, and it was very interesting. And for I don't know what reason, but at that particular time, I started to really like Guinness. But I'm not a big, like, dark beer drinker usually, even though I'm open to it. Anyways, so to make a story short, cheers, bro, and cheers to you guys.
Cheers. Cheers, everyone, yeah. Thank you so much for taking some time to sit down.
Hey, my pleasure, man. In a cataclysm glass right here.
Yes, yes. See, we do things right here in Montreal.
Yeah, we have...
That's Vox and Hops.
We know how to promote our shit, man.
We got to do some work, eh? This is really good. It's super creamy. It tastes like a creamsicle in a cup. It is very, very interesting. 5.6%. Very, very well done. Absolutely, absolutely crushable. Super, super delicious. Tell me about your first shows, Stefan. Do you remember the first time that you went and you saw a show?
Well, the first time I saw a show that I really enjoyed, I should say. Well, you know, we saw like at school, like high school, we saw friends of mine playing like a cover of Slayer or whatever, Metallica or Megadeth or whatever. So these were kind of the first shows I kind of liked, you know, to see live like this. And then I saw for the first time, I think it was 91, it was AC/DC in Montreal. Because the other show I wanted to see was Metallica back then when I was in high school again. But for a reason that I don't really remember, if it was age or if it was just pure laziness to get out or to buy a ticket, because tickets were sold out like this. It was when And Justice for All just came out, or it came out maybe a year before. I'm not sure exactly, but it was the big thing at school. Everybody were wearing shirts, you know, and so I fucked up that one. I really wanted to see this, but, you know, yeah, I saw like AC/DC in 90, 91. That was really cool with Max, you know, the Max from also Cataclysm, who brought me to Cataclysm, actually, who got me to meet the guys and to be here finally in the... So yeah, it was a good time, even though I remember the start but not the end. So
wow,
yeah, too much beer.
As is all good nights, right?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah.
Do you remember your first time on stage?
Yes, absolutely. I remember my first time on stage with, I'm going to start with Cataclysm, because before that, you know, I took music lessons and we had this end of the year like show where everyone was playing a cover song, and you know, was fun also, but it was more like pop rock music, you know. Like, anyways, I played with Cataclysm in 97. It was in I joined in October of 97, and then we played the show in December with Testament at the Fofun Electric in Montreal.
Fuck yeah.
I was flying, man. I was flying. I was a big fan of Testament, of course. Who isn't? And just to play the show, the reaction was great. People were super cool. And I will never, like, I will always remember that moment. It was very cool.
So you started off really high.
Yeah, yeah.
Your first metal show is opening for Testament.
Yeah, yeah. So from there, it could only go down, man. No.
Luckily, it hasn't.
Yeah, yeah, just kidding. But yeah, yeah, it was a blast, man. I was flying totally.
Do you remember your first impression of Cataclysm?
Well, like I told you, I met the guys in 92 when Max joined the band. I was friends with Max because we worked together at a flea market not too far from here. That's where we met.
Yes.
And he got the job of drumming, you know, in Cataclysm. So 5 years prior to my joining in the band, I got to see them guys, you know. We got to hang out and I got to see the show. I was like, holy shit, that's fucking heavy, man. And also at that time, it was your band also, fucking Cryptopsy, man. It was a big thing, you know. It was a big scene in Montreal in the 90s, early 90s, man. It was booming. So it was definitely great times, man. It was great, yeah. Miss those days, man. Fuck.
Can we talk about those days? I always get asked these questions, but I wasn't there, so I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Why did Montreal have such a healthy scene back then? I always look at it as being like a sort of a healthy sense of competition. Everyone's trying to one-up themselves. Well, what is your take on that early 90s Montreal metal scene?
Well, actually, yeah, true. There was a lot of competition, but I think it was good competition. You know, it was friendly competitions, you know, because a lot of bands, they started from the same school in Montreal for one reason, or this, like, and it was a bit, you know, like I said, a friendly competition, but it was still competition and it was good. And a lot of good musicians in Montreal. I mean, it was good times, you know, beers flying everywhere and just music. And it was a nice spot at the Fofun Electric also, which I have many good, well, not many, but I remember lots of good times over there. Some I don't remember because, you know, yeah, so, yeah, it was definitely a good time, you know. It was starting, every show was coming through Montreal. We were blessed with this, you know, because it's still now, you know, not all the tours or the shows come to different cities in Canada, for say, you know, but they come to Montreal because it's a big city. There's a big market. They know that when they come, they're going to have people at the show. It's a nice city. And people are into it. They buy merch. They, you know, they participate. So it makes the scene very, very good. So it was definitely a place to be, like in Montreal. So we're very lucky to be here, man.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And that is true. There's a bunch of really, really good players. We were lucky and blessed to have all the tours come through. It just sort of works out. It's like a perfect little routing blup up from the States, and you can hit Toronto and Montreal,
yeah,
and then make your way back down. I feel bad for the rest of Canada, too,
whenever, yeah,
I see a routing and everyone's forgotten. The prairies are forgotten.
Yeah, you have to, you know, hit it up once in a while, but or else, I mean, if they saw you, like, I don't know, a year ago, it seems like it's not enough, you know. I don't know, but it's tricky, you know. It might be also the pairing of bands, you know, that makes it interesting for people also.
I agree. How about when you guys just finished writing. You guys are about to release a new album called Unconquered, coming out September 25th via Nuclear Blast. Tell me about this record. How do you approach writing new records? Is it always something fresh for you, or do you guys go through a routine?
Routine. The thing is that we all have our studios, you know, even though it's not the big studio, you know. JF has the big studio. That's why we record with him, you know. But we have our studio. We always have ideas, you know. We all have, obviously, instruments. So we record ideas and we exchange it, you know. Now with technology, it's so easy. So we can exchange our ideas and build songs from there. And then we either fly to JF. Usually that's what we do. Or last time I flew to Maurizio's place and he has his studio, so Jeff can record everything and bring this back to his studio, do his magic, and then, have it mixed. And that's how it all goes, you know. So, I mean, it's much easier to record now than it was fucking the 90s, where you had to have everything analog with the tapes and all that stuff, you know. You had to rent a studio and pay thousands of dollars, like, for a limited time, you know, so you were rushed all the time. Now we can, well, we could take our time, but it's always rushed anyways, you know, between tours and this, but...
It's definitely, and it definitely worked out for you guys, because the band being from Montreal and then just fragmented across the states with JF moving, Maurizio first, and then you guys sort of lucked out with technology catching up with you guys.
Yeah, it was the perfect timing, or else we would be a bit, not messed up, but we would have to plan in advance, you know, meet up somewhere, exchange ideas on the spot, like, but... I mean, we still do that, of course, because we toured so many times. So when we meet up on a tour, we talk, we exchange ideas, we do our stuff, you know. But it definitely made it easier like this. You can, I have an idea. You go downstairs, you record it, and then you exchange this. And then the other guy can, let's say, build a melody on top of some chords or whatever, you know. So, or sort of some rhythmic sections or... So it's definitely easier to create music in a way.
It must be weird not being with your brothers for so long now that COVID's happened, because you guys live so far apart.
Yeah, that's why we did so many Zoom therapy sessions. We had like happy hours, you know, just to hang out a bit, to touch ground and see how people were doing and what was happening. I mean, we try to stay, like you said, positive, and try to go through it, like, without becoming too crazy, you know? And because I mean, we hear on the radio that, like, violence in families, like, went higher, and marriages, you know, people get separated a lot more, and all this because of COVID, you know. So it means people were freaking out, staying at home and doing nothing, and money situations, you know, the finances and stuff, it's not easy for everyone. People lost their work, they lost their companies, many lost, you know, a lot of things. So it's definitely playing on the psychology.
It's amazing that you guys stayed in contact and connected throughout all of it. Shows a real bond in the band. I love that. How did you guys stay in contact with your fans via during COVID?
Well, like everybody, you know, we have social media to help for that, for the best and the worst. So, I mean, I have to be honest, I'm not the best at posting pictures every day and doing that stuff, or every week. I kind of see a lot of picture on these things on social media, and I'm like, what the fuck? What's the meaning of that? Yeah, I mean, for me, I would never post that. It's it's totally useless. But, you know, we try to connect like this, at least give news of what's going to happen, what's happening, and just, you know, to show that we're, like, still alive and doing good in a way, you know, and I hope that, I mean, our fans are good too.
What is, was it strange or is it strange to release a record during a pandemic when you can't tour it?
Absolutely. But, I mean, every album of Cataclysm is mostly based on, like, on everyday struggles, you know, and good and bad, and then trying to overcome these troubles and, you know, it's trying to be uplifting and all that stuff. So we figured that if we release it now, maybe it's going to help some people out there to just, you know, get the aggressivity out and overcome things, you know, because, yeah, you'd be surprised. I mean, you know, but people would be surprised to see how many people it helps, you know, to just listen to music and to get it all out instead of doing stupid stuff or stuff that they would regret, you know. So
that is very true. That is very true. And was there a moment where there was talks of pushing it back and you guys holding on to it, or was it pushed back and now you're finally releasing it?
You know, I don't deal with that stuff. You know, it's mostly Maurizio who's the kind of the manager of the band. So, I mean, it's his band. He started it with, and then JF came in. So, I'm not sure, but it was supposed to be maybe released a bit earlier, but it made no sense, you know. But we didn't want to keep on postponing the release date. It makes no sense. It is what it is. We recorded it. We have it now. I think it's a good timing to put it out for the reasons I told earlier. So it just made sense, you know. So it's going to be September 25th, coming up, in a month already. Fuck. Time flies, man. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think that Cataclysm would ever do a live stream show?
Oh.
To help support this record?
Oh. Well, to be honest.
No spoilers. It's okay.
No. I'm not going to spoil anything, but to be honest, we don't want to do that for now. You know, if it keeps on going for fucking 10 years, then we'll see. But for now, there's no plans of doing that, you know. No, for now, there's no plans for that at all.
It's a strange thing, a live stream. I can only imagine performing it and staring into a camera lens instead of a crowd of people.
I'm not against it, but it just feels weird, you know, like when they were saying, yeah, people could drive up to the show, and I'm like, okay, you go see a movie like this, maybe, but to see a show, the audience and the artist needs, like, the electricity and the, you know, you need to, I don't know, it would be weird, but I guess everything's possible, but let's see how it turns out. But for now, we don't have any plans to do that, no.
What would be the best thing that happened that came out of COVID for you?
What's the best thing that happened to me?
Yeah, due to your time at home because of COVID.
Well, actually, a couple of things, you know. I got to spend a lot of time with my kids because they couldn't go to school. So I was the teacher. I mean, for 2 months, I was helping them to, you know, of course, with assistance of the real teachers, because, I mean, people think it's easy, but man, when the sun is out and, you know, friends come to knock on the doors and they want to go in the swimming pool, man, it's impossible to have them concentrated, you know. It's it's a tough job. So you know, props to the teachers that are in this every day. And also, you know, it's dad. Who cares about you? You don't know nothing, you know. So yeah, but it was fun, you know. I got to get closer to them. We got to do lots of activities, you know, bicycle, go in the forest, bowling, playing board games or whatever, walks and hang out, wrestle and all that stuff. I mean, I got to practice a lot the music also. So trying to get better at the instrument. I mean, learn new stuff, revisit some stuff also, like in scales and arpeggios or whatever the technique is, or exercises and stuff, you know. Try to play bass with my fingers instead of a pick. So I was always like, you know, technically I started to play guitar, not bass. So I started with a pick. It was easier for me to jump on a pick, but I was always fascinated by the real technique of bass with the fingers and stuff. So I started to do that. So who knows, in the future I might play with my fingers also. I mean, you know, getting staying in shape, you know, do some cardio, lots of reading, even though I read in school, but never really read on my own, like schedule, you know. It was always forced. So
yes,
anyway, so I started to learn to read, like of course watching a series and movies, stuff, hobby stuff, like woodworking here and there, you know, just fun stuff like this. And you know, just trying to get through the weird times, maybe until they find a vaccine or whatever solution they have. Let's see about that. But anyways, that's another story.
That's yes, it is. One last question, Stefan. It never happens to you because you're very, very organized and you're in control all the time. But what is your hangover cure?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm always organized. Totally. Thank you, Matt. Okay, what's my cure? Well, when I was younger, I had no cure. I had no hangover. Never. You know, I could drink until 5 and go to work at 7. I'd be fine, you know.
Wow.
But still drunk, but fine, you know. But, I mean, nowadays, of course, with age, you need more rehydration. You need new, you know, the solutions that you pour in the bottles of water. So, and lots of sleep. I mean, the basics. Yeah, so 3 beers and water. You piss a lot, but at least you're not dehydrated. That's the trick.
Wise words right there. Wise words.
Getting wiser as I get older, right?
Stefan, thank you so much. Yeah, we try. Stefan, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me, drink a beer.
Cheers, man. My pleasure.
Everybody, go pick up Listen to Unconquered, coming out on September 25th via Nuclear Blast. I know I'm going to check it out and listen to it. Thank you so much, Stefan. This is amazing. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Thank you very much for having me. Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. I had such an excellent chat with Stefan. It's always so much fun to see him. We've had a few instances where we bump into each other around the globe playing different festivals, and it is always, always a pleasure and a blast, and I know that we are going to have a good night. Make sure that you check out the new Cataclysm record, Unconquered, which is coming out this Friday, September 25th, via Nuclear Blast Records. It is an absolute rager of an album. Everything that I've heard from it is amazing, and I can't wait to dig into the whole record. Don't forget that Vox and Hops is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I normally would only have one episode coming at you this Friday, but this is a special week. In honor of being a part of Sound Talent Media, I have conducted a special interview and have made a very special Vox and Hops episode, which is coming out on Thursday, September 24th, with one of the main dudes behind Sound Talent Media, the great Dave Shapiro. Don't miss it. Check it out. Until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses. all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.